prophet say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we start another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Khalif Zam radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, in this series of the programs, we are mainly concerned with the lives, works, and biographies of the Persian, as well as Shiite and Muslim scholars in different fields of studies around the world. And I would like to welcome Dr. Fakh Rohani, the expert of this program, to the studio of the Khalif Zam radio. Dr. Fakh Rohani, thank you very much for accepting the invitation here.
Thank you very much.
And, Dr. Fakh, today we want to talk about another, how can I say, the shining star in the world of studies, especially a Muslim one and an Iranian one, of course, that is Ibn Sina, better known as Avicenna in the Latinized form in the English language. Before getting to the life and the biography and the works of Avicenna, which is going to be called with this name through this program, okay, because the English audience are mostly familiar with this name rather than Ibn Sina, I would like to just give a brief summary of his family background, Dr. Fakh. Agree?
Okay.
Okay, and after that we'll get to the rest of our programs. I would like to say that Abu Ali Hussein Ibn Abdullah Ibn Sina, better known as Avicenna, was born on 980 AD and 370 AH, and is considered as the most outstanding peripatetic philosopher and physician of Iran in the Islamic world. His father was a native of Balkh, and during the rule of Nuh ibn Mansur Samani, 977 to 979 AD, he went to Bukhara. He joined the government service in an important town and married to a woman of his neighboring village. Avicenna was born there in 980 AD, and Avicenna first started learning the Holy Quran and literature, and when he was only 10 years old, he was well-versed in the Holy Quran and literature, which astonished everybody, at the age of 10. He learned Indian mathematics under Mahmud Masahi, jurisprudence under Ismail Zahid, and the philosophy and introduction to the Aristotle and Ptolemy logic under Abu Abdullah Hussein Ibrahim al-Tabari Nateli. Then Avicenna studied the text and its exegesis of the books regarding the natural sciences and metaphysics, which according to his statements opened the gates of knowledge to him. It's astonishing to know that Avicenna, according to his own statement, by the age of 18 years old, he studied and mastered all the sciences of his time. And this is really astonishing. And when he was 22 years old, Avicenna lost his father. He left Bukhara for Khwarazm, and then after a period he left to Ray, then Ghazvin, and arrived in Hamadan, which after residing for about, he left for Isfahan, and welcome for the city, undergoing very tiring journey. And for a long period he stayed in Isfahan. He accompanied Alauddin on his trip to Hamadan and became critically ill and passed away in 1037 AD, 428 AH, at the age of 58, and was buried in the Hamadan city. Dr. Fakhrani, despite of the turbulent life Avicenna had, and the eventful life and the turbulent, because he has put so many dynasties, so many problems happened, like burning his books, burning the libraries, in the places he was residing. He was the most distinguished thinker and prolific writer, and in the catalogues, 131 books written directly by Avicenna and 111 books ascribed to him are mentioned, and this is really astonishing. Even he had nice influence on the Western theology, Western thinking, especially Western pharmacology and Western medicine. The Canon of Medicine was the book he wrote in 14 volumes, and this book was translated, and most of the Western medical practitioners, were influenced directly by this book out of the Arabic translation and the English or French translation. Okay, so let's start with the life of Avicenna. Who was he exactly? Just give us a summary of his background, and after we get to his specialties.
Avicenna was one of the most renowned Iranian and Muslim thinkers in the world.
Right.
Actually, I should like to say that if anyone wants or wishes to talk about Avicenna, it would normally take any narrator to talk about Avicenna several hours. Okay. Because Avicenna wasn't an ordinary intellectual. He was a really genius in the world of knowledge. And I should like to say that he was, to some extent, the crown of all intellectuals. I mean, both Western and Islamic and both Oriental and Occidental. I should like to say that the influence of the late Avicenna goes back both to his methodology and to his innovation in the world of knowledge and scholarship. He wasn't such a person, just to summarize or give explanations of the works of his predecessors. Rather, especially in medicine, he trusted on his own experience, and by this way, he showed that within the Islamic frame of scientific or scholarly inquiry, one is allowed to draw on his own personal experience. I'm saying this because elsewhere we hear that some people may think that within the Islamic frame of reference or within the Islamic a framework of academic inquiry, one may not be able or one may not be allowed to draw on his or her own experience. Rather, Avicenna proved otherwise. Mm-hmm. A scholar may remain an Islamic, a Muslim scholar, heavily drawing on the Holy Quran and, sound hadiths, right. And at the same time, where possible, one may draw on his own experience.
Even it is narrated that at the age of 8 or 10, in fact, in some sources 8 and some sources 10, in fact, Avicenna knew Quran by the heart.
Yes.
He memorized the whole Quran, okay? And yes. This is really astonishing. Okay?
Yes. And I should like to say that the importance of Avicenna, is, this is number one, intellectually, but linguistically, I should like to say that the works of Avicenna, some of them are in the Persian language, and some of them, or the most important of them, are in the Arabic language. Why? Because the Arabic language was the lingua franca of the world in those days. Something similar to the role of English in academic circles in the world today. Okay? In this way, we find that Avicenna was, in a way, a global thinker. Uh-huh. He never restricted the scope of his academic inquiry to the Persian-speaking, people or publics. Okay? Mm-hmm. Rather, he produced his major works in the Arabic language in order to globalize his thoughts. And this is quite praiseworthy in the life of an intellectual.
That's right.
In this way, on analogy, if we should like to draw on this experience of Avicenna, okay, in how to globalize one's thought, we should like to say that today, if we take Avicenna as our example, mm-hmm, today our thinkers must express the noblest thoughts in the English language in order to globalize the ideas and academic achievements.
So the interesting point about Avicenna is that the religious studies and the non-religious studies, as you said, somehow were opposing each other, especially in the Western theory, okay?
Yes.
In the Western theory of thought. But what is interesting about Avicenna is that he had mastery over the religious one and the non-religious one. To name a few of them, I would like to mention that. For example, he had mastery over Islamic medicine. Islamic medicine was, they say, pioneered by him.
Yes.
Or, for example, alchemy and chemistry in Iran somehow was, in Islam, was very much influenced by him. Islamic astronomy, ethics, philosophy, logic and Islamic philosophy, even geography and mathematics, okay? He delved into the Indian mathematics, science, kalam, paleontology, psychological thought, physics, even Persian poetry and literature. You know, this is real interesting. So how is it possible for a man to be all-knowing? You know, we call a person all-knowing, okay, or a learned one or well-versed one. But in one field of a study, two fields of a study, nowadays it is really difficult to, we can say...
to master all sciences.
That's right. To master all sciences, and as he claimed himself, at the age of 18, I was the master of all my sciences of my time. Of his time, okay? He was the master of all sciences of his time. How is it possible? Where does this commonality come from? Is there any common points between these studies that Avicenna was interested or what?
Yes, I think the basic factor in pushing a person ahead in the field of academic inquiry must be sought in, well, biologically speaking, in a person's being a prodigy. I mean, the quality of being a prodigy mm-hmm. helps a person go faster.
Sure.
Another one is that he had enough academic incentives. Please note carefully that he was always in quest of knowledge, and he used to consult a lot of libraries wherever he traveled. He happened to travel either in company with other nobles or, well, alone. He used to consult a lot of libraries.
Sure.
And he wasn't such a person to laze around. I mean, he was quite a very zealous person. I mean, he was always in quest of learning, well, many, many new things. So, in the world today, if our younger generations in the world today, if they want to take Avicenna as the model, they should know that they shouldn't laze around. They should always be in quest of knowledge. And it wouldn't be enough for a person if he or she learns something and to say that, okay, I should like to stop here. No, there's no stop in the world of knowledge.
Sure.
I mean, there's no stop, there's no block, there's mm-hmm. no hindrance, there's no hindrance or restriction in the world of knowledge.
In fact, in his biography, when we are looking at Dr. Fakhruddin, he says that sometimes Avicenna, in fact, the studies he got, get to some problems that is looked unsolved for him, okay? It is written by his own, in fact, autobiographies or the biographies that on that time, Avicenna always resorted to Prophet Muhammad and always resorted to praying, okay? Even for 3 days on and on, he was praying until he say, I got a kind of illumination. I kind of shining inside. Or even I dreamed some of my problems are solved in this way. I do want to say mastery of the science is something, but being linked to a source which is divine is something else, isn't it? Dr.
Yes. Well, I should like to say that basically knowledge and religion and all religious belief go hand in hand.
Okay.
Okay. Avicenna was an example from the past.
Sure.
In the world today, there are several scholars who, when they encounter any problem, they resort to, well, praying and going to church or to a mosque or to a temple and to initiate a series of prayings and offering some prayers to God or to any highest divinity they believe in order to cast on them the beams of illumination. And they find a torch inside, a flame, and then, they find that they've got the solution to the problem.
They find a way, in fact.
Yes. Actually, I should like to say that this isn't amazing or this isn't exceptional. No, this is quite usual. If a scholar relies on only and only exclusively on his or her own intellect in order to find the answer to a question, I should like to say that such a scholar wouldn't be able to solve all problems on his own. Why? Because our mental capacity is quite limited. So in order to get the answer to a very basic question or a fundamental controversy, we have to have some links or relations to the sublime. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to find the solutions to all problems. So Avicenna, in this way, Avicenna teaches us, okay, how to solve even apparently unsolvable problems.
That's right. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrouni. Let's get our break, okay? And after we continue our discussion on the lives and works of Avicenna. Okay, taking a break, listening to a religious song. I'm back in a minute.
You are very special. There's no one just like you, created by the Master. Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine.
Welcome back to your audience from around the world. The program The Immortals, coming to you from the Kalabazan radio station, Islamic Republic of Iran, Holy City of Qom. This program, we are mainly concerned with the life and works of Avicenna, basically known as Ibn Sina in Persian language and in Arabic language. Okay, Dr. Fakhrouni, as you said, Ibn Sina or Avicenna had, mastery, or we can say all-knowing mastery over the sciences and the best sciences of his life. In order to prove this, I would like to say that Avicenna was influenced by some of his masters and influenced so many other modern scholars, okay? So let's name some of them, and after we get to, we can say, the rest of our program. First of all, I would like to say that the best works of Avicenna were two, the Canon of Medicine and the Book of Healing, okay? Basically known as Shefa and
Al-Qanun Fattab.
That's right. You know, Avicenna was very much influenced by Prophet Muhammad.
Yes.
Even because Avicenna had some books and some pieces of treatises on theology, he proves this. He was also very much fond of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. Because, you know, at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, so many students from the other fields of studies were also interested in participating in the sessions held by Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. And this was really interesting for him. Hippocrates, he was influenced by him. Aristotle, Galen, Plotinus, even Indian mathematics, okay, he was influenced very much by the work of Indian mathematics. Wasil ibn Atta, Al-Kindi, Al-Farabi. Farabi is very important in here. And Muhammad ibn Zakaria Razi, Abu Rayhan Biruni, okay, he was also very much influenced. And, Muslim physicians in general. But when we look at the people who he influenced on, we can say because he was contemporary somehow with Abu Rayhan Biruni, he also influenced Abu Rayhan Biruni very much. Omar Khayyam in literature and poetry. Ghazali, was very much influenced by him. And Fakhruddin Razi, Nasiruddin Tusi, even Khaja Nasiruddin Tusi. You know, these themselves were great scholars, but somehow were influenced by him. These are about the, when we're talking about somehow the Persian and the Muslim one. But when we get to the Western one, somehow we can say that John Locke, the philosopher, this is really astonishing. Spinoza, he was very much influenced by Avicenna. Or René Descartes and William Harvey, and we can say Benedetti, John Burdian, Thomas Aquinas, Duas Scotus, and all these great philosophers of the modern history, 18th and 19th century, okay, were somehow influenced by him. This was because of the translation of his works done into the French language and into the English language on that time. But somehow this proves that we can find traces of Avicenna in the works of those person who he is influenced. In order to know him better, just give us a summary of about his, in fact, living circumstances, okay? About his living circumstances. And after that, we'll get specifically, inshallah, to his works and to his specialties, field of studies.
Yes. Regarding the biography of Ibn Sina, or Avicenna, as is said in Western languages, As you know, he was born in the year 980, I mean in Christian calendar, at a place known as Afshaneh, near Bukhara.
That's right.
He was really a prodigy, so he attained very high achievements, I mean, yet in childhood.
That's right.
Okay. However, in those days in Bukhara, in that region, in Central Asia, there were the Samanid dynasty were in power.
Sure.
Since the Iranian Samanid dynasty, they were interested in learning and education, so they provided a very good seat, I mean academic seat, for knowledge. Please let me indicate here that even before, for example, 80 or 90 years ago, Bukhara was still a great center for learning religious studies in Central Asia. And personally, I know some old men, who relate from the teachers that the teachers were educated in Bukhara first, and then they went to Baghdad or to Egypt or elsewhere. However, I should like to say that Avicenna, the importance of Avicenna is that he achieved to some extent the end point or the latest development of all branches of science by the age 18.
That's right.
When he was quite a young man.
Okay.
Such a young man, I mean, plus being a prodigy and an intellectual, and who had mastery over two languages, the Persian and the Arabic language, he could, I mean, he was able to produce quite a lot of, I mean, works, quite a lot of books, both in the Persian language and in Arabic.
Well, was it that much easier on that time to master all the sciences at the age of 18, the age that a person gets to the university nowadays in the world, like Tefa?
Yes. Well, actually, it happened at least once in the case of Avicenna.
That's right.
Yes.
Right. Very nice. He was really a prodigy, as called by all the Western scholars.
Yes. And I should like to mention an anecdote about Avicenna. When he went to a person in order to learn some geometry, he was a student only for 3 days. The fourth day he became teacher, and his teacher became his student. Yes, it was quite astonishing. And at the same time, I should like to say that the I mean, two of his books, I mean, Avicenna has a lot of books, several books. And I shall, and as you mentioned, some books are ascribed to him. I mean, some books are attributed to him.
That's right.
Because of Ryan writing style or references to other books of Avicenna. Some may think that, well, they might also belong to Avicenna. However, this isn't strange, but I should like to mention here that two of his books are very known, very well known. As you remarked, one of them is Book of Healing, Kitab al-Shifa, which is, contrary to its title, it's a book in philosophy, in analytical philosophy, I mean, in which he showed his mastery over the Western trend of philosophical and theological thought, as well as on the Islamic, I mean, developments or oceans of philosophical knowledge. He ably showed his mastery over these two major trends of philosophical inquiry in his Book of Healing, Kitab al-Shifa. And another book is Al-Qanun fi-Tibb, the Book of
the
Medical Canon,
the canon
of Medicine. Personally, I saw a Latin translation of his, I mean, Book of Medicine, his medical masterpiece.
Yeah.
And to my amazement, I found that the Latin version of his book, of his medical treatise or medical encyclopedia in a better sense, was published about 40 years ago in Holland.
Yeah.
And it shows that, it proves that, even today, his book of his medical encyclopedia must still be in use, I mean, in Western academic and medical circles. Such was the great achievements of this noble person. In the field of medicine, he was one of the, I mean, quite exceptional intellectual who paid philosophical attention to healing patients. In the field of medicine, usually doctors and
medical, physical aspects.
Yes, doctors and medical practitioners usually pay attention to the physique of the body. To the body by itself, almost irrespective of the role of the psyche or the intellectual aspect. However, Avicenna was such a person that he made a confluence, he achieved a confluence of, coming up with a good mixture, a positive mixture of theological or psychological healing and physical healing. I mean, he made this achievement. At the same time, I should like to say that he was a great linguist. I mean, he has a book, a treatise in phonetics, Makharij al-Huruf, I mean, the places of articulation.
Very nice.
Yes, this his book, The Places of Articulation, I mean, a book in phonetics, deals with all sorts of intricacies and delicacies of speech production. Personally, I noticed that his book was several years ago translated into the French language. Well, personally, I read his book in both Arabic and Persian, but I noticed that the same book, Makharij al-Huruf, Places of Articulation, was also translated into the French language.
You know, the A.F. Myron.
Yes.
I was a translator, which translated it in 1889 till 1899.
Yes.
And A.F. Myron published some of the works of Avicenna under the title The Mystical Epistles of Avicenna. In four parts, published in Leiden. These were the books. That book was, as you said, in French language, was included in that book.
Yes, actually, I should like to say that Leiden has long made the seat of representing Oriental thought in Western countries.
As a publishing company or publishing?
Yes, yes. The E.J. Brill, as a well-known publisher in Holland, usually undertakes publication, edition and publication of very important works, especially those which belong to the Islamic world. However, I should like to add that Avicenna's importance isn't only or exclusively related to intellectual branches of scholarly inquiry. Rather, he was a pious man. Personally, he was a very pious man.
Thank you very much. It was very nice of you to give us a summary, in fact, in brief, of Avicenna's life, the family background, and the fields of his studies. Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Dear Muslims, we will continue the works and the biography of Avicenna in our upcoming program. Wait for our upcoming program under the title The Immortals, which is mainly concerned with the lives and works of Persian as well as Muslim, specifically Shiite scholars in different fields of studies. You can also refer to our website at www.suiradio.com. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.